Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's time for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. This is truly a day that God has made. And I don't care whatever is going on in our life right now. Everybody should be able to find something that they could be glad about, that they could praise God for, that you could thank him for. Even in the midst of these storms, trials, and tribulations, God is still in control. He never left you. He won't forsake you. And he's right here with you. That's encouragement, my brothers and sisters. Well, everybody knows what's going on in the world because we can't cut on the television without seeing the news talking about this or that. But I could tell you, think on things that are lovely and pure because that's what will get you through. We can't change what's going on in the world. We can't direct, redirect. All we can do is protect ourselves, lean on God, cast our cares on him because he cares for us. God is a good God, and he is worthy to be praised. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Joshua. It's a book found in the Old Testament. We're going to be in the first verse, the first chapter. I pray that you read the whole chapter. I pray that you have your Bibles with you. And we're going to expound on verses 1 through 9. The title of our lesson is God's Promises Will Always Come to Pass. Do you believe it, my brothers and sisters? God's promises will always come to pass. And at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is so appropriate. The title of the lesson is Don't Quit. It may get hard. It may seem tough and rough. But don't quit.
Listen. The economy's down. Price has seemed so high. Seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah. Trying to make ends meet. Trying to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold long enough, he will see you through. Encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just don't. Ah, check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah. And my friendships sometimes they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. I'm trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome all that's not right, yeah. But sometimes, you know, it seems so helpless. Oh, even when things don't go your way, you gotta hold on that you're not made to be defeated. Hallelujah, away from your breakthrough, don't quit. You won thank you, Jesus, away from your promotion, don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level, don't quit. You won bless your holy name away from God.
Hallelujah. That record said it all. Don't quit, y'all. Hallelujah. He said, hold on to your faith. We say with our mouths, we love God and we trust God, and then every time something come up, we crash. Hallelujah. Hold on to the confession of your faith, because that's where your strength lies. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Don't quit, y'all. Don't quit. At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace, and you know the first Wednesday of every month, we visit our prayer list, and our intercessor goes to God in prayer for those on the list. And I just have to thank each and every one of you for keep calling back and receiving what God has for you. I want to thank everybody that listen on the internet and do you off the Facebook or wherever you may be listening to that. I want y'all to know that 5% of the callers that called in is from South Africa. And for that, I say thank you. They have people that call in from Canada and all different places of the world. And I say thank you. I just thank everybody. I thank God for allowing me the opportunity to come back week after week to go before his people. And I thank each and every one of you for your prayers and your encouragement. At this time, we call our prayer warrior, our intercessor, to go to God in prayer with our prayer list. And Sister Pam is on the line. And Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is the prayer list for tonight. And if anybody have anybody that they want to add to the prayer list, y'all can add the name at the end of the program, or either y'all can call and let Minister Diane know, and I'll add it to the list. Esther
and
Lucas.
Sister Pam, what we could do, excuse Sister Pam. What we could do, if anybody got any names, if anybody have any names that they want to add to the list, they could press the one button and I'll let them give you the name now before you bring it to God. So
that'll
if anybody has anyone they want to add to the prayer list, you could press the one button on your phone at this time. Those names will be added at this time, and they will be on the list and be called out and brought to God's throne of grace in prayer. So you could press the one button at this time. Caller, your number is 205. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. I'm asking for prayer for the family of Minister Carol Bridges. She transitioned on yesterday. Also, I have a lady that has poor circulation in her leg. I do not have her name. And a gentleman that was rushed to the hospital with a heart condition. And someone that is dealing with brain cancer. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. You don't know the name, but God does.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Caller, your number is 504-912. Your mic is open.
Olea Williams. Thank you. God bless.
What was that?
Olea Williams.
O-L-E-Y-E. Thank you so much, my sister. I have a caller who pressed the button, and your number is only showing up as 111111. Your mic is open.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't press star 82, T-Dine. I'm sorry. I would like to add to the list my coworker. She has a heart condition. Her name is Devin Allen. And thank you.
Debbie? She said Debbie.
Thank you, my baby.
Devin with a Z. Devin.
Allen?
Devin.
Yes, Devin Allen. That's her name.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Miss Pam.
Thank you, Tamika.
You're welcome.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God.
I thank you guys for asking for prayer for these different people. You know, we have to lift people up in prayer. And, you know, if there's a prayer line, we want to get our loved ones on there, you know, because God is blessing and he likes to hear and he likes us to call names and situations. I also am asking for prayer for my family. And that's it, Sister Pam.
Okay. Esther Lucas, Jim and Kathy Hartman, Diane Dustin and Derek McBride, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, Tammy Ditto, Maddie Lala and family, Javonda Caples, Sharon, Maisha Bryan, Shamika Alexander, Nini, Beverly Ferguson, Jasmine, Elizabeth Smith, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, Florida Kazier, Gwen Ellis, Adrian and Marie, Vernita Avis, Minister Tommy Banks, he's doing much better. That's a praise report. Sheila, Patrice Oliver, Chriselle, all the prisoners that are behind prison walls tonight, all over the world, all over the United States. We're giving prayer to the lifting up the homeless tonight that don't know where, have nowhere to live, those that have mental problems that are still on the street. We want to lift them up tonight in prayers. And all those that are hospitalized, for the man that has the heart condition, the person with the legs problem, that person with the brain cancer, Lord, you know their names, Minister Carol Bridges, Olea Williams, and Devin Allen. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go? I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me and that he shed his precious blood from sin to set me free. Father God, we give you thanks tonight for life. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and for your mercy, for your grace is sufficient enough for me. Lord, we lift up prayer tonight for Minister Diane and her entire family. We thank you, Father God, for our minister and our sister in Christ, Diane Adams. Lord, we thank you for her. We ask you to continue to pray for her and continue pouring your blessings upon her entire body and upon her entire family. We thank you, Lord, for our Bible study each Wednesday night. We thank you for every person that's here with us, the ones that are on the phone, those that are on the internet. We ask that you lift up in prayers the families that lost loved ones to this coronavirus. Lord, we still ask in prayer for those that are recovering from the virus. Lord, we know that these things in life has to come to pass, but we do know that you are still in control of all things. We know that you are a way maker. You are a miracle worker. You are the light in our darkness. You are a healer. You are our strength in the time of weakness. You are our joy in the time of sadness. We know that you are our Savior, and for that, Lord Jesus, we say thank you. We give you grace, we give you the praise, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. Thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much. And since it's praying time, y'all, you know, this, we're living in perilous times.
Yes.
And prayer is the keys that unlock the doors of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And
thank
peace and joy. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And strength.
Yes.
It removes sorrow. It makes us feel safe. So we're going to continue to pray. And after the program, instead of benediction, we'll have a prayer from Sister Elyria Mackey, Minister Mackey, if she's on the line, when we finish. And at this time, we're going to go into our lesson. You know, I chose last week, if you guys remember, we was talking about Moses. And how Moses mm-hmm. had brought the children out of the wilderness, and how Moses had brought the children 40 years through the wilderness, and how Moses was the representative of God. When the people wanted something, they went to Moses. Moses went to God, and as he had, we saw how Moses went to the king and did all of the plagues and. The final plague was kill of the firstborn, and they let them out. Then we saw that Moses was bringing them, had got them out of Egypt, and they got to the Red Sea, and the people start complaining. And then God told him to raise your rod, and the sea divided, and they was going to go on the other land. We even touched on the fact that Moses would not cross over the Red Sea, that Moses would not. But we saw some chapters where God brought Moses on a hill and told Moses, look at it. I promised it to your forefathers. He's saying, you're not going to go to the promised land. And last week we ended the background with Moses didn't see the promised land in this lifetime, didn't step on the promised land in this time, but he will be in the promised land with Jesus. And so that's how our lesson was last week, and glory be to God. And tonight we're talking about Joshua. When God decided to punish Moses for his sin, and they say he buried him with his own hand, and God had to raise up a new leader, and that leader is Joshua. So tonight we're going to pick up where Moses left off. Sometimes it's so amazing that some things that you start, you won't be able to finish it. But you do your part. God may have you to start, and then somebody else finishes. Almost like when we say one planted the seed, one watered it, but God gives the increase. But be all right with what God have you to do. Moses didn't see the promised land, you know, in his physical, but he sure enough enjoying it in his spiritual. And really, that's enough. So I'm going to give you a little background to show you how all of this happened. And for us to do that, to see why they was promised the promised land, why they became the promised people, and all of this. So we have to go back to Abraham. So my lesson tonight is about Abraham. Way in the book of Genesis, around the 12th chapter, God told Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. God's promise in Abraham, and this was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later when Joshua, well, we going to expound on the date that it began to take place. He said, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Y'all, we living on the blessings of Abraham, if you don't know it. You know, when we was in school, we used to sing a song, Father Abraham. And the song went something like this, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I don't remember all of the words, and they say, let's just get busy or something like that. But you need to know that we are living on the blessings of Abraham, because in the book of Genesis, God said, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I thank God for Abraham and his faithfulness. because his blessings are still dwelling and being bestowed upon us. You see, there are several reasons why this transfer of ownership was appropriate, talking about the promised land. First, we have to realize that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything in it. You see, as the creator of the earth, God has the right to do with it as he pleases. We have to get that. God have a right to do anything he pleases. God could wave his hand or blink his eye and all corona would be over. God could take our president and give him common sense and make him begin to become presidential. God can. And we believe he will, but we have to realize not our time, but he's in control. You see, he can take land away from anybody because the land belonged to him in the first place. And the reason I'm saying this, when God told him that he was going to give them the promised land, you have to remember if there are people living in that land. All people were in that land. That was their land. They had their houses. They had their this. They had their that. They was established. They was there. But God said, I'm giving that to you, Abraham. Some people might say it's unfair, but how could it be fair if that's what that belonged to him? The land pledge to Abraham was part of God's provision for the Jewish people. You see, God chose them to be his chosen people. God wanted a people of his own. When he made the Israelites a nation, there were a lot of nations around, and God wanted him a nation. He chose the Jews, which became the Israelites, God's holy nation. Way back then. Way, way, way back then. And I come to tell you right now, they still are chosen people, even in the midst of their disobedience, even in the midst of not accepting his son. You see, because some covenants, God made a covenant with Abraham. It's called the Abrahamic covenant. See, the covenant that God made with Abraham, sometimes you can make a covenant between two people and it's conditional. You know, I'll say, I'm going to sell you my house for $50,000. That means both parties have to play an equal part, and it doesn't be consummated until both parties do what they have to do. But when God made the promise to Abraham, it was unconditional. In other words, God said it, and he was going to do it. And he didn't ask really for something to have to be done to do it. Because God don't go into counsel with nobody for what he want to do. He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is my will. It's a part of my master plan. And bam, you are now my chosen people. You see, after Exodus from Egypt, the Jews was given the promised land, confirming God's power to predict the future and fulfill his promises. You see, second, giving the land to Abraham's descendants was a part, a judgment to the sinful Canaanites. See, the Canaanites had really, I guess we could say, teed God off a long time ago. And, you know, when we do sin, now Jesus took away our sins and we forgive him, but the consequences of our sins still are there. So I guess the best way we could say it is the Canaanites, the sins that they went up against God with, years and years and years and years ago, the consequences are now has to be paid. So God gave the children of Israel, the Canaanites, land for their sins. You see, the Lord gave a time frame for the transfer of the land, as well as the reason for it. You see, God said, I'm going to do it, but he did it in his own time. That's how we have to wait. you know, many years and many times I could imagine the Israelites was really saying, you know, you keep saying you're going to give it to us when it's going to happen. But things don't happen. We don't get to pick the time. But you see, the time hadn't came. And watch how long it took. But you see, in the fourth generation, God told him, your descendants will come back here for the sins of the Amorites has not reached its full measure. In other words, he might have said, I'm going to give them 10 chances. They might have was on number 9, so he wasn't going to do it till he got to 10. You see, this statement clearly showed that God had a reason for wrestling the land from the Canaanites. Namely, remember this, their sins. You have to watch what your sins going to cost you. We do it and God doesn't act immediately. And I guess we think we got by. But sin has consequences and all consequences have to be paid. Now or later. That's why it's wise if we could learn to stop doing things that has bad consequences, not the ones with good consequences, and we won't have to keep paying for what we did back when. Like some people say karma, or some people believe when they have hard times that they're paying for the sins that they committed maybe when they was young or whatever. But you see, at the edge of the promised land, Moses told the children of Abraham, it is on account of the wickedness that these nations that the Lord is going to drive out before you. See, God was making it plain. They were wicked. God promised Abraham right now, immediately, but he promised him the land. But it wasn't time yet. That's why he was talking, say, around the fourth generation. And the prosperity promise to Abraham required much land. You see, prosperity in Abraham's time involved acquiring land and having much livestock. God promised to make Abraham prosperous what virtually required giving him a large amount of land. God told him, I'm going to make you prosperous. I got to give you a bunch of land. The Canaanites ain't did the right thing. They wicked. Give you their land. God could do that, you know. Though here were many nations living there on the other side of the Jordan, and they were fixing across the Jordan. God, they hadn't already crossed the Red Sea, but they had to cross the Jordan. See, Moses went with them across the Red Sea, and then they stopped in the land right before the Jordan. Moses didn't go any further. God not give it to Joshua. Hallelujah. Yes, God promised Abraham land that belonged to someone else. And the reason for this transfer of land included the need to punish the Canaanites for their sins and the need for God's promised people to have their own land. God wants you to own your own. You know, there's somewhere in the Bible say the riches of the unrighteous is stored up for the righteous. And the biggest promise that God has given us that will be fulfilled is that eventually that land that God gave the Israelites would become the birthplace of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. God needed somewhere for his only begotten son to be with ownership. See, it have a lot of purpose and a lot of meaning. So when God is doing things in your life, you have to take time and see what's going on and just wait on God. Talk to him in prayer and let him talk to you, and you'll understand some things by and by. But that's how it got started. God made a promise to Abraham. And I want y'all to know the war that's happening in the Middle East is still from this thing here. Remember, the people was living on the land. God allowed Israelites to take the land because when they were going battle, God was with them and they always won. But those people, just like I guess the Indians who say that the white man took their land, the people that was living on that land, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, and all of those nations never forgot, and they always feel like they was robbed of their land, their inheritance, what they had worked for. So it always have a rift. And the wars in the Middle East is always over land. Check it out. Check it out. Even with the Israelites, because of their disobedience many times, they went in the war. They were so disobedient that God backed off and they lost the war. They lost the land. You know, Babylonium had them in captivity for 70 years. They was captured by the Assyrians for years because they weren't obedient. But God had special things for the Israelites, even in their disobedience, because he loved them in spite of and not because of. And if he make a promise, like the title of my lesson tonight say, God promises will always come to pass. And it was an unconditional covenant. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He didn't say, I'm going to let you be my promise people as long as you're faithful. God don't tell us you're going to only have salvation long as you're faithful. He ain't saying whenever, long as you're doing what I want you to do, that I'm going to bless you. See, God is not like that. So our promises from God for our salvation was unconditional. If we accept his son, we got it, and we'll always have it. So I'm going to start with verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I will give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I say to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even the great rivers of the, trying to say this word, and as much as I know it, Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and into the great sea across the going down of the sun shall be your coast. See, they got, Moses brought them through the Red Sea. They got on the land in front of the Jordan. They got to cross over the Jordan because the promised land is on the other side. Now, the Jordan was a body of water. The Jordan was a river. It was a great river. And they had to get on the other side. See, all of us always talk about how God parted the Red Sea. But you very seldom hear people how God parted the Jordan River. So for the people to get on the other side of the Jordan, God did it again. He made the water in the Jordan separate. The people walked on dry land in the middle of the Jordan River to get on the other side to start doing the conquering of the land. So that's how all of this got started. Now, God chose Joshua to succeed Moses as Israel leader. You might ask the question, why Joshua? First of all, it's just a part of God's plan. All of us was selected by God in his master plan before the foundation of the world. You, me, Joshua, Moses. You know, we talked about Moses' mama putting him in a basket last week. God has a plan, and you are included. Your purpose is designed before the foundation of the world. While you was in your mother's womb, the scriptures say that God took his hands and formed your innermost parts in your mother's belly. God knew Moses would fail, even though he chose him. He knew because God is all-knowing, omniscient. And Joshua would succeed. You know, you have to remember that God is all-knowing, just like I said. But you see, Joshua was ready, willing, able, and in position for God's blessing, and he trusted that God would provide the provision. That is the lesson for us tonight, if I stop. We have to be willing to the things of God. We have to be ready. We've got to be able. You got to keep yourself in position. Some, you might say, well, how can I be out of position? God might, you might be in a relationship, and you might not be married. I'm just being hypothetical. I'm not picking on any one thing. And, you know, you're living with the person, you're not married, and you're doing this and doing that, you know, and God want to bless you. You're out of position to receive your blessing. If every day you, everything you do is lying, you have a lying tongue, and which is abomination to God, God can't send you nowhere because he don't know if you're going to be truthful. You're out of position. If you're gossiping all the time, God can't send you because you're going to go somewhere and cause confusion. You got to be in position to receive, doing what the word of God asks us to do. You see, many times in our lives, God can't bless us because we're out of position. You see, Joshua knew his place, and if and when a chance would come, he was ready. Joshua was one of two that life was spared in the wilderness. Because you remember, it was Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else over the age of 20 years old died in the wilderness and was an eyewitness to the plagues and the exodus from Egypt. God allowed Joshua to be able to teach the new generation all that God has done, is now doing for them right now, and what he promised to do. When I read this just the other day, it was the first time that came to my mind. I always think about why Joshua was saved and why only Joshua and Caleb were saved out of the men. And I realized the new generation that was born in the promised land, all of the miracles had already happened. And all of the babies that was born in the promised land don't know nothing about the Red Sea, the dead angel passing over the doorpost. So God left him two remnants that would be able to give them eyewitness, because God wants everything to be done with evidence. You see, then God let you know that all he had given them, everything was theirs, every place the sole of their feet shall tread upon. I have given you not I have given you. Joshua began to teach the people that. See, Joshua believed God promised. He knew about Abraham. He knew about the race. And he had enough faith to know that he could trust God. So Joshua started telling them, everywhere your feet tread upon have been given to you. You see, the word of God is full of promises that God has given unto us as well. Just like the Israelites are God's chosen people, we are also his children because of our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. There are instructions that we must follow so we won't end up like Moses. You must know what's for you. And the Bible tell you how to get it. And always give God the glory. You see, in good times and bad times, he's worthy to be praised. You must read the will of God, which is the Bible, the word of God, to know your inheritance. That's just like somebody in your family died and left you $10,000. And you never took time to read the will. And then when they asked for the will to be read, you didn't show up. The word of God is the will of God. That's God's will with all that he owns and all that he has in it. And he has said, who will receive? We all in the will of God, the will of God. You have to be ready in position for God's blessing and know God has something for you to do. He has always provided the provision, so just do it. God will never set you up to fail, but always working things out for your good. Do you believe it? If we look at the next five, first five, six, seven, and eight, nine, there shall no any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance of land, which I swear unto your fathers. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all things of the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it your right hand or to your left, that thou may prosper wheresoever thou. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, for thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, and thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thy make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Last verse. Have I not commanded thee? This is God talking, y'all. He said, look, this is what I'm asking you. Read the word of God. Meditate on it. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to know your inheritance. You're going to know my promises. So many people don't know the promises of God because they don't read the word of God. And this is what he said. Be strong and of good courage. Yeah, coronavirus is hitting the land. He said, but just be strong and of courage. He said, be not afraid. He said, neither be thou dismayed. He's telling us be strong, be of good courage. Don't be afraid and don't be amazed. And look what he said. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thy goest. Do you believe it? Be encouraged no matter what's going on. God will make it all right, but you got to be strong. God is taking time to encourage Joshua and give instructions on how to succeed. He assures him that he will be with him wherever he goes. This is the same instruction for us to read the Bible so we could prosper. And he said, I'll be with you until the end. When God gives us an assignment to do, he provides the provisions necessary to accomplish it. And let me tell y'all this. God will never ask you to do anything that he hasn't enabled you to be able to do it. So, you know, like people try to get you to do something, then you got to learn and blah, 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 blah. God is different. God knows what he put in you, and he's trying to get that out of you. He don't ask you to do what somebody else do. What he asks you to do is tailor-made. And that's why he's going to give you tailor-made assignments and he give you tailor-made blessings. But be in position so you can receive all he has for you. And don't lose your blessing because you're out of position. Just like he told Joshua, he's telling us. Joshua, new job. Now, let me just tell you this, because you might have never thought about it, but watch this. Joshua's new job consisted of leading more than 2 million people. You know, when Moses was in the wilderness, you know, we know the story. I don't know if you ever thought about how many people it was. It was millions. We could look at the grumbling and the fussing and all of that, but that's how many people it was. So he did a great thing. And now Joshua's job is to lead 2 million people into a strange land. And not only they was in going to the land, they had to conquer it. You see, all the land had to be conquered, but there were people living there. Just as God was with Joshua, he is with us as we face our everyday tough situations. as we face difficult people and many temptations. Temptations. God promised, however, that he will never abandon us or fail to help us. By asking God to direct us, we can conquer many of life's challenges. Each one of us has a divine purpose that God has assigned to us. He's given us the strength to do it. He's given us the ability to do it, putting all of the provisions in place, and yet we won't walk in. But we have to be ready, willing, and able to do what God has given to us. We are one body, the body of Christ, the household of faith, the one body having many members, and each member has a part to play. And no member is more important than the other one. Because if you look at a body and it has two arms and two legs, and you had to give up something, would you rather give up an arm or a leg? No, you want both arms and both legs. Because each one of them is equal important. You want to lose your sight or you want to become deaf. You want to see and hear. And that's how the body has to operate in the body of Christ. But everybody got to take their rightful place. And then you would be surprised how living in the kingdom of God on earth would be. So you have to be in position for God's blessing, and God will provide. He always do. He always do. God promises will always come to pass. And God will provide the provision. And one of the greatest promises that God has made us, and I already say that his promises gonna come to pass, because God can't lie. He don't fail. And see, God ain't like man. You know how somebody sit there and give you something and they think about it? See, God is not like that. If God said it, you could believe it, and it will come to pass. And that's just the way God operates, and that's the way he designed it. God promises will always come to pass, and one of his greatest promises is that one day the Messiah will return to set up on his throne. And through his righteous rule, the whole world will be blessed with an abundance of peace, pleasure, and prosperity. See, even though this world is full of evil and it's dark and it's so much injustice and so much unfairness and prejudiceness going around, and some have figured they have the they better than others, and you know it's just unequal, but that's the world we live in, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But those who accept it of a more excellent way, and it won't be achieved fully on this side, but it will be settled on the next. And the Bible says those who may have been first could become last, because justice is going to be equal for everyone. And that's just the way it is. But while we're in the midst of these storms, you have to know God's got you. Obey the law of the land. If they tell you to social distance, that's all you can control. The only thing you can do is control yourself from being in homes where as much as possible. Wear your mask, wash your hand, clean your face. And depend on God for the rest, not just for you, but your family, your city, your state. And don't even stop there, for the United States of America and all of the nations around the world, because we all in this. No big eyes, no little you. Coronavirus is not prejudice. coronavirus don't care who your mama is. They don't care if you're a movie star. They don't care if you're a little child. It don't care. It has no respect of person. But even with that, I'm going to leave you with this. God is still in control. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say something, if we have any questions. The people who pressed the button early, I'm going to put your mic on. You don't have to say anything. The mic is pressed one. If you press it again, I can't be prompted. So I'm going to press your mic, and I'm going to call your number. I'm going to press your mic. If you don't have nothing to say, I'm going to cut your mic back off. But if you want to say something, I'm giving you the opportunity. So anyone who have anything they would like to say, you could press the one button at this time. You could give encouragement. You could ask for prayer. You could add to the lesson. You could do whatever you want. So, Sister Pam, did you want to say anything else?
Just want to thank you for such a beautiful, wonderful, beautiful lesson on tonight. And may God forever bless you.
And bless you as well. Thank you so much. Sister Angelique, would you like to say anything?
Of course. I just have to say thank you for giving this message tonight and simplifying it and putting it on my heart that I have something that I have to take care of regarding land and inheritance that I was actually afraid to do. But your message encouraged me tonight. The word of God directed me tonight, and I look forward to giving my praise report when the matter has been settled. So I ask for prayer on an inheritance situation. And I just thank you for
praise God.
I mean, God is always on time. All the messages fit with something that's going on with someone. And tonight it was me, and I thank you, and I ask for prayer in the situation. Thank you,
my sister. That's the same, Angelique, when you lift up in prayer. And y'all have to be, you know, some people, y'all know after Katrina, a lot of families had land and they walked away from it. God had given it to them. They had it, and nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed it. If he didn't allow for them to get it, when they got it, he allowed them to keep it, and then they walk away. Land is precious in those days. That's how they determine a man's worth, by his land and livestock. Caller, your number is 504-912. I'm going to open your mic, but if you don't want to say anything, we'll move on. Caller, your number is 11111. Your mic is open, Tamika. If you don't want to say anything, it's okay.
No, I want to say thank you for the lesson tonight. And I've just been at peace, if you will, and just being able to hear on a daily basis that God has me and that he's with me every step of the way. I'm just appreciative. Right now, I feel like I'm at a loss for words because I'm just soaking everything in. And it gives me a sense of hope, if you will. A lot of hope. And for me to stay on the path that I'm going. I feel like I'm a walking testimony, if you will. And I know the things that I was able to get out of, it was nothing but God. It wasn't man. So I thank you for always driving that point home to us, T. Diane. And like I said before on one of those calls, that I strayed away from God, but I'm back for sure now. So thank you so much.
Praise God. And when you really get into God and his word, that's what the word is designed to do. And when you get in it and you're not getting your breakthrough, just hold on. The song I played, don't quit, just keep going. Just keep showing up. Just keep reading. Just keep asking. Keep praying, and God will see you through. Caller, your number is 715. So that's hilarious. And I don't know if she has anything to say. She could say it at this time, and she could leave us out in prayer. And anybody else have anything to say? You could press the one button on your phone. If not, we're going to go to Sister Elyria, and she's going to lead us out in her own way. We had prayer in the beginning, and we need prayer now, because it, what we're going through in this world, I ain't going to even say country because it's all over. It's time to pray. Sister Elyria, your mic is over. Come to us any way God sends you.
I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the raging sea. Though billows roll, Jesus, He's the keeper of my soul. My heaven lift up, the watch is on over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On the mountain peak, or on the stormy sea, billows roll, Jesus, He's the keeper of my soul. I'll have lift up the watches you, oh God, I trust you, Lord God. God, I trust you because your word says I can lean and depend on you, Lord God. God, your word said I can delight myself in you, and you will give me the desires of my heart. God, and most of all, I realize that I am your purchased possession. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and for that I'm grateful, oh God. God, I thank you, Lord God, because your word declares many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And God, I pray right now for families that are going through, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you will bind up broken hearts of those who loved ones have transitioned, oh God, from life dead unto life and life eternal, oh God. I thank you, Lord God. God, I thank you for those that you're calling out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you for what you have done in my life, oh God, for what you're doing in this present time. And I'm thanking you in advance for what you will do, Lord God. God, because your word says that your promises, they are yea and they are amen. And God, you said the first commandment that you gave with promise is that your children would honor their mother and father, that their days would be long upon the land. God, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for moving on the body of Christ's behalf, oh God. I pray for the whole household of faith, Lord, around the nations, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that we are covered with your blood. I thank you that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And God, you didn't stop there. You said that we are lively stone. And we realize that Jesus Christ himself is the head corner. He's the chief cornerstone. And for that, we are grateful. God, we thank you for this Monday night. in May, God, the first Monday of this month, Lord. We reverence you in everything that we do, Lord God, because truly you are the potter, and we yield ourselves as the clay, asking that you would mold us and shape us into vessels unto honor, that we would be meet for your use. And God, in everything we do for you, we will give you the glory, because you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve our worship. And God, we thank you that you're calling the body of Christ into a place where it can worship you in spirit and in truth. And I thank you, and I magnify the name of Jesus. I give your name all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Mackey, Minister Mackey. I thank each and every one of you for whatever part you played. Calling on the line is a part being played as well, because you meet up, and if there's blessings flowing here and you on the line, you will be blessed. Because God has promised his people, if you come together and seek and search him, he will be found. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. This is our Bible study for tonight. If it's God's will, we'll meet back on next Wednesday. I just ask that each and every one of us realize that the mighty hand of God is working things out even in the midst of these adversities. God's got you. Trust him. Not our will now, but God's will gonna be done. Not on our timetable. Everybody be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Good night. See you next week, and be blessed.